And we begin Be'ezer Hashem on the Yuma Tes Amid Beis in the Vilna Shas. It's 1, 2, 3 lines from where it gets wide. 3 lines down from where it gets really wide. But the beginning is with the words Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Elazar. We just finished the Gemara that the pasuk of Zoak v'Hillel ben Adam and B'chol Nisei Yisrael, that Gemara. So we now begin. Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Elazar, Da'amri Tavayu. Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Elazar both say, Rishonim, the earlier generation, meaning those who lived, the Jews that lived in the times of the first Beis Hamikdash, is Gale Avoinam, that their sins were revealed. Rashi explains this to mean that they didn't try to cover it up. They didn't try to hide it. They did what was wrong, and they knew what was wrong, because this was a time really that, as the Gemara will say, they believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but yet their Yetzer Hara got the best of them and they did these sins. But they didn't try to cover it up, they didn't have excuses for it, they knew they were wrong. So therefore, Nizgala Kitzam. Therefore Hashem says, measure for measure, you're open about things, Hashem says, I'll be open about things. I'm going to tell you when this galus will end, and namely, Yirmiyo Anavi, who predicted the Chorban, predicted the exile to Bavel, said that, L'sev Shivim Shon, at the end of 70 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you back. Which is of course indeed what happened. The Pasuk says, L'fi Malais L'Bavel Shivim Shoneh, when you fill your time in Bavel 70 years, Efkoid Eschem, Hashem says, then I will remember you and I will redeem you. However, Achroinim, the time in the second Beis Hamikdash, those Jews, Shalainas Gala Avoinam, their sins were not revealed. Again, like Rashi explains, they tried to hide it and cover it up. Lainas Gala Kitzam, their time was not revealed. And as after the second Beis Hamikdash, we were not given a date how many years it's going to be when we go back. And as we know, it's been over 1900 years already, closer to 2000. There's a beautiful pshat from the Ben Yehoyada on this Gemara. Nizgala avoinam, nizgala kitzam. Loi nizgala avoinam, loi nizgala kitzam. He explains very beautiful like this. He says that the earlier generations who the averis that they did were clear and they were strict averis and they were sins that everybody knows is something that's bad. Like Gili Arayis, Shvichas Domim, Avodah Zorah. So since those were the Averis, so therefore, when they realized what they did wrong, right away everyone was able to do tshuva. And as they realized, you know, how could we have done this, and our Yetzer got a hold of us, doing forms of Gili Arayis, Shvichas Domim, yeah. How could they do that? When they realized that terrible, that grave error that they were doing, they right away did tshuva. And therefore Hashem says, aha, since I know that you're going to do tshuva during your period in Golus, you're going to do tshuva, Hashem says, therefore I could tell you, I'm confident that I could tell you how many years it will be, and since you're going to do tshuva, it'll only be that amount of years, and you'll come back. However, Acharonim, in the second Beis Hamikdash, what was the sin that caused the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash? Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam, in the eyes of people, are not so bad. And therefore Hashem says, they're not going to realize, Lainis Galo Avayman, it's not going to be so open and revealed of how terrible their sin is. Really? The sin of just talking Lashon Hara about somebody, disliking another Jew, that's what could destroy a Beis Hamikdash? We're not going to be convinced ourselves. Therefore Ben Yehuda says, Hashem says, I'm not so sure they're going to do tshuva so fast. And therefore, in order not to demoralize them, and get them to give up entirely, I'm not going to tell them when it is. Because if I would tell them ahead of time, you know it's going to be 2,000 years in the Golus, then forget about it. We'll never have a chance. Therefore Hashem never revealed the time, and throughout the generations, throughout the centuries, people tried to do tshuva at the best of our ability, hoping, maybe it's now, maybe it's now, maybe it's now Mashiach will come. That's the way he explains this Gemara. And really, the Chofetz Chaim says the same thing in a very powerful and true statement. He writes in the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, he says, I'll prove to you that people are not so convinced that Lashon Hara is so bad. What's my proof? This is a very simple proof. You know why? Well, that's the Gemara is going to say that. Good. But he brings even a different proof. He proves like this. He says, let's say people keep kosher. Yeah? You keep kosher. You don't eat non-kosher. Okay. Let's say you go into a restaurant and you eat something and you realize afterwards this was a non-kosher restaurant. You didn't know. You didn't know. Or maybe something at home you didn't realize it wasn't kosher. Psh, it wasn't kosher. You feel terrible. Right? You feel terrible. You go speak to the Rav. What should you do? How could you do tshuva? It's a terrible thing. Right? You ever meet the person who says, I talked Lashon Hara yesterday. I can't believe it. What should I do? Let me go to the Rav. Let me say... Chofetz Chaim says we don't react that way. So he says when you eat, let's say something that's chelev or nevela, right away a person chaptat sitter. Right away he's frightened. Oyvei, he did a terrible avera. He does tshuva right away. But for the avera of lashon hara, so I didn't like another Jew, so I said some lashon hara, so I said a bad word at him. We don't think it's so bad. And that's why Chofetz Chaim says that's why we haven't yet done tshuva. Since we haven't done yet tshuva, that's why the Beis Hamikdash hasn't been rebuilt. An unbelievable story. We have time for a little story. Famous student of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, his name was Rabbi Itzela Petterberger, Rabbi Yitzchok Blazer from St. Petersburg, from Petterburg in Russia. Rabbi Itzela Petterberger, in the end of his life, moved to Eretz Yisrael. A great goyin, a great Baal Musar. He was very close, very friendly for most of his life with Reb Chaim Berlin. You've heard of Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin? This is him, Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin, the son of the Netziv. They were very close friends. Reb Itzela Petterberger instructed when he dies, he doesn't want any eulogies. No has paid him by his levaya. But the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim, where he died, felt that, okay, you have to listen to his request, but somebody should say something, and his good friend Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin did eulogize him, but he certainly curtailed his expansive words that he could have said. Fine. That Friday night of the during the Shiva, his friend Rabbi Itzela Petterberger came to him in a dream. And he says, first I want to tell thank you for not going overboard on the praises like I really wanted. I didn't want this to be said about me. And then in the dream, Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin says, "No, so what's happening over there? What does it look like?" So he says, "Phew, it's not easy. It's not easy, but I'll tell you one thing that they are so strict about is the burim asurim. Things that we're not allowed to say. They're very strict, particularly about that. About forbidden words, lashon hara, rechilus, seinas devarim, verbal abuse to somebody. That they're very strict about. Indeed, that's what the Chofetz Chaim has been writing about. He's been promoting this, and this is really our Gemara that you see the acharonim leinizgal avaynim. It wasn't so clear to them how terrible their sin was, and therefore leinizgal ukitzam, as we explained from the Ben Yoyada. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, a very interesting line here. Toiva tziparnon shel rishonim, greater is the fingernail of the earlier generation of the first Beis Hamikdash, mikreisei shel achreinim, than from the stomach, one of the four stomachs of an animal, than the stomach of the achreinim. Meaning to say, very simply, a simple pshat, that the nail, which is a sort of a very insignificant part of the body, their nail, their fingernail, was even greater than the stomach, which holds the food, a more important, integral part of the animal's body, or of a person's body, but obviously the mashal is to an animal, than the acharonim. That's what the Gemara says. So before we explain pshat in this Gemara, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. I would say not like that. I would say acharonim adifi. Actually, the later generation, those who lived in the second temple, are greater. Why? Because afagam dekishibud malchiyos. Even though all this time, since already after the Beis Hamikdash were destroyed and won the Roman rulership, there was shibud malchiyos, which still exists till today, as we know from the Gemara. We have shibud malchiyos, and as we are still subordinate to the king, to the authorities, to the non-Jewish rulers. But yet, ka'oski b'teira, and sometimes it was at great expense, with great mesiras nefesh, still Jews learned Torah. Omar Leis, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, bira teichiach, Go look at the Beis HaMikdash, the Bira, the big castle. That is a proof. You see, it was returned to the first ones, not returned to the second. Who's greater? Obviously, the first generation was greater, and the sins of the second one were worse. Shalos Reb Elazar, similar Gemara. Rishayim Gedolim or Acharayim Gedolim? Who was greater? And you can really ask, who was worse? First Temple Jews or Second Temple Jews? We're included in the Second Temple Jews, by the way. So Reb Elazar told them, Tenuei Nechim Bebira. Go take your eyes and look at the Beis HaMikdash. There's still a big mosque over there. It's not our Beis HaMikdash. Look at the big, look, it hasn't been returned. Ikadami, some say, he said like this, Amar lahem, Eidechem Bira. Your witnesses is the Beis HaMikdash itself. So, very briefly, the Vilna Gaon, on this one line, he actually is not on this Gemara, he's explaining a different Gemara in Bukhairis, which is a very esoteric, agadic Gemara in Bukhairis, and he wrote a little kuntris to Vilna Gaon to explain various Gemaras that are almost not understandable if you don't understand sort of the allusions of each part and each word and each part of the context of that Gemara. So in passing, he explains the pshat in this line in the Gemara. Okay? We're talking about fingernails and stomachs. Right? In the symbol pshat, he could have just said, you know, the heads of the first generation were greater than the toes of the second generation. Why use the mushal of nails, fingernails and stomachs? So when the guy says fingernails, referring to here, since the analogy is to an animal, because a keres is one of the four stomachs of an animal. What do you call those animals? Ruminants? Right? That it goes from those that chew its cud, and it goes to one stomach, and the second stomach comes back up, and then back into the fourth stomach. Right? Ma'ale gera. So that's the stomach. And what are the fingernails? Those are the hoofs. Those are the hooves of animals who indeed either have split hooves or don't have split hooves. Listen to this pshat that Vilna Gaon says. We have two times in the Torah, Parsha Shmini and Parsha Re'eh, where it lists the simonei tahara, those identifying parts of the animal that make it kosher. And we list four animals in particular that only have one but not the other. In other words, every animal that's not kosher are missing both of them. For example, a donkey. It doesn't chew its cud and does not have split hooves either. Okay? But there are four animals in particular that three of them are ma'ale gera, but they don't have split hooves. And one of them has split hooves, but it's not ma'ale gera, doesn't chew its cud. Which are they? So you have four psukim in Parsha Shmini. The first one is Hagomol, the camel. It chews cuds, but no split hooves. Shofan is the hare, similar to a rabbit. It chews its cud, doesn't have split hooves. Vesharneves, the rabbit, chews its cud, does not have split hooves. And the fourth, the chazir. It has its split hooves, but it doesn't chew its cud. In Parshas Re'eh, it lists it again, but over there it has the first three in one pasuk, and the chazir in a separate pasuk. So the first one is four psukim, and the over there is three in one pasuk, one in its own pasuk. What do the four represent? The four Goliaths, Bovel, Modai, Yavon, and finally Edom. And then the Gaon explains like this, that the earlier generations who had the Avera of Gilei Raish, Shivchas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, right? There, we compared that to those who sort of have claws. Fingernails here means they have claws, and that's how they attack their prey. Right, and because of their terrible lust and desire, they went after either the lust for money or lust for taiva, for pleasures, and they went after Gilraish, Vichazdamim, or Avodah Zarah to gain whatever their hearts desired. That, but inside, the stomachs representing the insides, they lemaisa, in the end of the day, they did have trust in Hashem, and they deep down were good people. They are represented by the first three of the nations that subjugate us. We'll get that in a moment. The later generation, What was their sin? On the outside, everything was good. On the outside, they seemed very polite, very good to one another. But inside, their stomach, what represents their insides, that was rotten. That was rotten because they had really had sin as chinam. Every galus is really to mirror what we have to rectify. It's a mirror image of who we are really and what we have to fix. So the first three galus we were thrown into sort of those who represent animals, that it's very clear what's wrong with them. On the outside, their hooves you see are not kosher. These people, Bavel, Yavan, Moda, Yavan, they were all on the outside. You saw that they just wanted power and they wanted to rule over the whole world, and it was clear what they wanted. And that was representing what we were. It was clear what was wrong with us. Like so we said before, Nizgala Avayin, it was clear what the Avera was. And the fourth Golas, we were thrown into Golas Edoim. Golas Edoim represents the Chazir. Right? Esav is compared to the Chazir. Why? Because on the outside they look very friendly, very kosher. We want to be friendly with you. Actually, that's how the Roman Golas started. They wanted to defeat the Greeks, so they enlisted the help of the Jews. For 26 years, we worked together, fighting the Greeks together with the Romans. As soon as they came to power, they turned their backs on us and destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. And that is a mirror to us of where also we are sinful and where we are doing wrong. In the outside, it seems everybody's friendly, everyone's good. But deep down, you know, do we behind closed doors talk lashon hara about somebody? Do we not like another person? That's represented by these animals. That's represented by the four golias, four psukim. But three are one type and one is the other type. Let us continue along the Gemara. The Gemara brings a story like this. Reish Lachish havasachi biyardana. Reish Lachish was bathing in the Yarden, the Jordan River. Jordan River borders Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. Also, Rabba Bar Barchana, presumably he came on the side of the Bavel River, or it's not clear, maybe he actually came to Eretz Yisrael for the time. But anyway, Yoheb Le'yode, he gave him his hand. One pshat is Reish Lakish was very big and he had a hard time getting out of the water. So he gave him his hand to assist him. So very strange. Reish Lakish says, Amalei, Elokos Sanina Lachu. His God hates you. Some say, Elokos Eloshin Shvua. He says, Sanina Lachu, you're hated. Why are you hated? Tichsev. And this is the way he explained this pasuk in Shir HaShirim. He was blaming those who came from Bavel and Rabba Bar Barchana. Came from Bavel. And he says, all the Babylonians are hated. Why? The Pasuk says like this, if you're a wall, meaning if you Klal Yisrael are like a wall, Nivna alei tiras kesef, then we can build with silver on top of you. V'imdelesi, and if you're only a door, Nitzar aleha luach erez, then we can only build with cedar. The Reish Lakish explains like this. If you would have made yourself like a wall, and you all would have come up with Ezra, Bimei Ezra, when he wanted to bring up all of the Jews from Bavel after 70 years, and you would have settled all in Eretz Yisrael, and you would have rebuilt the Beis Hamikdash, then the Shechina would have been present in the second Beis Hamikdash as well. And says the Sfasemes, the Beis Hamikdash would not have been destroyed. Then you would have been mshaltem kakesi, would be compared to silver. She'ain rekev she'elot bo, it doesn't rot. I think you could say pshat, no, silver does tarnish. So even though we would have had the sin of maybe sin as chinam, and we would have had to have been punished, we would have sort of been tarnished, but the Beis Hamikdash wouldn't have been destroyed. And we would have had a greater chance as getting it back. But now, Ashav, Shalisim, Kedalsa, you came up like doors. Rashi says sort of, some of you went in this door, others went out the other door, some of you went up, some of you stayed back. Nimshaltim Ke'erez, now you're only compared to like a cedar. Shaharekev Shalat Boy, indeed wood gets eaten away as time goes on, it rots away. My Erez, what does it mean? What are you saying about wood that it gets eaten up? Omar Ula says, Sasmagor. What's that? Sasmagor? Rashi says Sasmagor is the name of a particular worm that eats through the tree or the wood. And we know it as termites, but this is a particular insect, a worm. that eats through and destroys it. And that's what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. It was eaten up, says Reish Lakish, because not everybody came up. And therefore he says, that's why the Babylonians are despised until today, because it was due to them not listening to Ezra and not coming up in mass with everybody there, that the Beis HaMikdash could not have been built in the great manner that it was built the first time around with the Hashra'as HaShchina. My Sasmagar, the question here, as Rashi explains, is what do you mean, why are you comparing it to a Sasmagar? Meaning, a Sasmagar, this Talas, this worm, eats up all the wood but leaves something over. So what was left over in the second Beis HaMikdash that was still sort of retained from the first Beis HaMikdash? Not everything was destroyed in the second Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, when they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, we were lacking many of the things. We were lacking the daily miracles, we were lacking the Shekhinah, right? So we'll see you later in the Gemara what other things. But what was left? Sort of what was saved from the first Beis HaMikdash? Amar Rab Abba, Bas Koil. You know what was saved? A Bas Koil. Kidatanya, like we learned in Ebraisa, Mishamesu, Nevi'im Acharonim, when the later Nevi'im, namely the last Nevi'im, the last prophets in Klal Yisrael, Chagai, Zecharia, and Malachi, Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh mi Yisrael. Not only Nevu'ah was taken away, Ruach HaKodesh was taken away, and Va'adayna Mishtamshim Bebaskol. However, they still were able to have some communication. From Shemayim. In other words, Nevuah is Hashem tells us exactly what He wants. And not Nevuah, it's Ruach HaKodesh. Not Ruach HaKodesh, there's still a way to find out how Hashem is able to communicate and talk to us through a Bas Koil. Various different interpretations to a Bas Koil. Some explain a Bas Koil to mean, why isn't it called a Koil? Why not a voice? Why is it the daughter of a voice? So Tosfos explains that it's sort of like an echo. We don't hear the real voice of Hashem. We don't, even the people who are able to hear don't get a full voice of Hashem, but it's only a sort of a rebounded voice of Hashem, a baskal, an echo. Others explain it to just mean a much lower diluted form of prophecy of Nevuah. And that's the way Hashem is able to talk. Reb Tzadok HaKohen, very interestingly, says a different pshat. He says that the Chachamim were mishtamshim bebas koil. They used to use things that were said in Mesiach Lefi Tumay. Things that were said not intentionally to a directed to a certain person, but yet they would hear a message from Shemayim. And he quotes a Yerushalmi in Shabbos that says that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish wanted to go from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel because they wanted to go to Shmuel, the great Shmuel, Rabban Shmuel in Bavel. He wanted to go to his yeshiva and talk to him in learning. But they weren't sure should they go. So they went to a base, a Knesset first, and they overheard there were children that were learning. They happened to be, they were learning Navi. What Navi? Shmuel. And all of a sudden they hear a boy saying, Ushmuel Meis, and Shmuel died. Shmuel HaNavi. They said, aha, that's a sign in Hashemayim that our Shmuel, the one we want to go see, Shmuel of Bavel, is not in this world anymore. And they stopped. They didn't go. So he says that's another form of Bas Koil, meaning that they used voices that were heard as a sign, as a message from Shemayim. Fine. There's actually, there's a Reb Chaim Margolis in his, in his introduction to the Shailas Teshuvas Min HaShemayim, writes against this idea of Reb Tzadok. Okay, Ayin Sham. Says the Gemara like this, Reish Lakish, Mi Mishtoi Ba'adi Rabba Bar Bachana, would Reish Lakish even talk to Rabba Bar Bachana, who was from Bavel? Uma Rabbi Lazar, the Mara Da'ar Yisrael Hava. If we see that Rabbi Lazar, who indeed was a master of Torah, he was someone of stature in Eretz Yisrael, but yet v'lay hava mishtoi Reish Lakish ba'adei. Reish Lakish would never engage him in conversation, Tosfos explains. Reish Lakish would never initiate conversation with Rabbi Lazar. Why not? Because demande mishtoi Reish Lakish ba'adei b'shuk, because whoever would see that Reish Lakish, the great Reish Lakish, was talking to this person and initiated a conversation with this person in the marketplace, that person was so respected, Yovole Iske Beloy Sadi. That person would be offered a business deal or offered a loan, Beloy Sadi, without any Eidim. I mean, Reish Lakish had such clout. he was looked at in such high regard that someone says, "Ooh, Rish Lakish talked to that person, went over to that person in a conversation. That person must be very special. We can give him a loan. We can do a business deal with him without any aidim. We don't need witnesses over here." So if he didn't even, so Rish Lakish knew that, and therefore didn't want to give the false impression, so he would not talk to just anybody in the shuk. So if he didn't even talk to Rabbi Lazar, who was from Eretz Yisrael, so Bahadei Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Mishtoi, would he go talk to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, who was from Bavel, who we said, he himself said they're despised? Amar Apapa Shodi Gavra Beinayu. Literally that means put another person in between them. So Rashi explains it means change the person. You're right. It wasn't Reish Lakish Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, it was somebody else. Oy Reish Lakish Ave Uziri, either it was Reish Lakish having a conversation with Ziri, Oy Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Ave for a Belozer, it was Rabbi Bar Chana talking to a Belozer. The Ritva says, no, don't change the whole pshat. But instead of saying it was indeed, it was Reish Lakish and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, but there was a person in between them. There was a go-between. He wasn't talking directly to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, but rather he was talking to Ziri, who talked to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. Says the Gemara, Ki Yastach Hamed Rabbi Yechanon, when Reish Lakish came to Rabbi Yechanon, back to Rabbi Yechanon and his Rebbe. Omalei. So he told him the conversation that he just had Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, and he told him, you know, I told Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, I said we despise the Babylonians. Why? Because they didn't come up with Ezra, and for that reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Omalei Rabbi Yechanon said to him, Lav Hainu Taima. He says, my Taira Reish Lakish. That's not the pshat. Rabbi Yechanan disagrees and said that's not the pshat why the second base image was destroyed. And you know what the reason is? Because inami saliku kula b'mei Ezra. Even if all of the Jews would have gone up in the days of Ezra, lo yahavashar yeshchina b'migdash sheni, still the Shechina would not have rested in the second base HaMikdash. Why? Dichsiv. Listen to the way Rabbi Yechanan stands. It says a pasuk in Noach, Yafta lekim leyefes v'yishkein b'hol eshem. How do you interpret this pasuk? Yafta lekim leyefes. So, how do you teach yaft? What is the translation of the word yaft lekim leyefes? What is yefes or yofe?
Nice, beautiful.
Beautiful, nice, right? Look at that. The Marsha has to remind us of a Rashi in Chumash. Rashi in Chumash explains like Targum. Yafta lekim leyefes means Hashem will expand the borders of Yefes. Yaft, he will expand it. Marsha says here we're translating it not from expansion, but rather from beauty, like we understand that. Yafta lekim leyefes, indeed Hashem can give great beauty to Yefes. But the Yishkain, where will he dwell his Shechina? Only Ba'al Eshein. Only in the tents of shame. Says the Gemara, Yoram and Aleph now, Avagav the Yafta lekim leyefes, even though Hashem will allow beautification through Yefes, in other words, that the Parsim, the Persians, who were the ones who rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, the king was at the time, Dariyavish's son, Koresh, yes, Cyrus, he was the one who allowed and began to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. He was from Pras, from Persia. So even though the Persians, will see as they come from Yefes, they're allowed to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and made a beautiful bias. Indeed, the Gemara tells us that the second bias was even more beautiful than the first. But Ein Hashchina Sheira Ela Ba'ohol Eshein, in the tents of Shein. Marsha says, why plural tents? Because it was the Mishkan, it was the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishain. It's a very big difference. And you want it to be a beautiful building, yeah? You can get even non-Jewish construction workers. You want the Shechinah to rest over there? Oh, then it has to be done by the children of shame. Like Shloima HaMelech, who had the artisans and the workers were Jews at the time. Says the Gemara Uparsoi, Minolan de Yefes Kasi. How do we know the Persians come from Yefes? The Gemara says the Chsiv again, a pasuk in Noach, Bnei Yefes, the children of Yefes are Goimer, Umogoig, Umodai, Vyovon, Vesuval, Umeshech, Vesiros. He had seven children, Yefes. Goimer, says the Gemara, Zeh Garmamia. Or, if you read the Vilna Goin, there's also Gemara in Megillah, Zeh Germania. What's that, Germania? Germany. Mogoig ze Canada. I don't know if it's Canada, but it certainly resembles it. Modai, we change the gear, say, Modai kimashmoi, Yovon ze Makedonia. Macedonia, right? It certainly sounds like that. Tuvol ze beis unaiki. I don't know if we know what that is, but that's that place, beis unaiki. Meshech zu Musia. Meshech zu Musia. And then Tiros. What about that son, the final son of Yafes? Pli yiba Rav Simoin v'rabonon. V'amila Rav Simoin v'rabonon. They have a machlek is what it is. Chad omar zu beis turaiki. Is that place? V'chad omar zu pras. So here you see, indeed, Persia came from the sons of Yefes, and indeed that's who rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. But Rabbi Yochanan says, since they were the ones who rebuilt it, that's why it didn't have sort of it didn't have a chance to remain standing. So an interesting machlokes, Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish says the reason why there was no Shechina is because not all the Jews came. Rabbi Yochanan says the reason why there was no Shechina is because it was built by the hands of the Persians.
So the Shechina was not at all in the second temple?
Correct.
So
correct.
It was not holy there?
It was certainly holy. It had Kedusha. But the Shechina, the presence of the Shechina, was not visible over there. Ma zeh the presence of the Shechina? If you want, I'll tell you very quickly. The Neid Biyud writes in a tshuva, what does it mean to have the Shechina present? It means that it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running everything. Is the presence of Hashem is clearly identifiable. It's overtly clear. How do we see this? In the first Beis HaMikdash, there were tremendous miracles that took place. Every day in the Beis HaMikdash were just a manifestation of brilliant miracles. Right? The pillar of smoke that went up. We're going to have it later in the Gemara. The pillar of smoke on the Beis HaMikdash, yeah? It went up. There was no roof on the Beis HaMikdash. What happened when it rained? The smoke stayed straight. What happened when it was windy? It was not moved. An ace. When they finished with a carbon, all of the leftovers of the carbon, what did they do with it? They put it on the side of the Beis HaMikdash, and all of a sudden, what happened? An ace kairach, whoosh, got swallowed up in the floor. Right? So that's what it means the Shechina is there. When clear miracles, the clear presence of Hashem, that's when we say, Hashgacha Pratis, is when we see Hashem's hand clearly involved in our lives, that's when we say Hashem is present. Now the Gemara, I would like to try to finish in the next about 9 minutes till the two dots over here, which is the end of this sugya, and then Beresh Hashem Yechta Ben Azman, and we will begin with the continuation of the Gemara dealing with interesting sugya of mezuzah. Says the Gemara like this. These are just random Gemaras brought in over here because since we're mentioning about different names, so the Gemara brings in other things that have to do with interpretations of places or names. And the Gemara says, Savta v'rama v'savtecha. Tani Rabbi Yosef, what is this? Sikistan gviyasa v'sikistan b'raisa. Meaning that there was an inner, these places were surrounded by mountains, and there was an inner city that was built, the Gebiyasa, and Sikistan Beraisa, and there was an outside one that was built. Bein Chod al-Chod, in between each of these two cities was a Maya Parsi, 1,000 Parsi, a certain amount of measurement. The Hekefa, and the circumference of the entire city was Alpha Parsi, was 1,000 Parsi. Okay? So says the Gemara. And that was why, who are those three people? Those with the Bnei Kush. As the Pesukim over again, that's the Bnei Kush. Now, we say another Pesuk, dealing with Nimrod. V'atihi reishis mamlachtei Bavel. The beginning of his kingdom of Nimrod was Bavel. And v'erech v'akad v'chalnei. All of these places. Says the Gemara, Bavel kimashma. Like the place we call Bavel, that's where Nimrod reigned. Ered, Zeh, this is the land called Eirichus. V'akad, Zeh, Baskar. And Kalnei, Zeh, Neufer Ninfi. I don't know, does he say over there in your Gemara, does he explain any of these places? Do we know about, can we identify them in today's geography?
Erech is close to Ur.
Erech goes to Ur. Yeah, so that's Orichus, but we know what that is exactly?
Okay.
Not so sure.
Huh? On the lower Euphrates.
Lower Euphrates. Okay. We'll take their word for it. Says the Gemara, we continue another pasuk in Parshas Noach. Min ha'aretz ahi yotza Ashur. From that land, meaning from the territory of Nimrod. And Nimrod, we know, was a terrible person, a murderer, a thief, an adulterer, and he tried to get everybody to do follow in his ways. And towards the end of his days, when the Dor HaFlog, and they went to go fight against Kaviyachol, min ha'aretz ahi, from that land, yotza Ashur. Ashur, as many Rishonim explained, is an actual person. Ashur left. Tani Rabbi Yosef, Ashur ze Silak. That is the place called Silak, which the people of Ashur, the nation Ashur, which became a nation, that's where they lived. What did he do? Vayivnes Ninveh. He built a city called Ninveh, Vesrechoy Vaisir, Ves Kolach, and he built those cities as well. Ninveh, Kimashmoy, that's the famous city of Ninveh as we know it. Actually, the Mefarshim explain that this whole Sefer Yoina, the whole Sefer Yoina, the four prakim of Yoina, which we read on Yom HaKippurim, which Yoina was told to do this one nevuah of go to Ninveh, which is actually a non-Jewish city, told him to go do tshuva, is Mefarshim explain this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu mida keneged mida. Ashur, you are ready to pick yourself up and leave from everybody because of the terrible morality that was existing at the time of Nimrod. Hashem says, I, Kaviyachu, will pick up my Navi and make him travel by boat all the way to you to help you do tshuva. And that's why Yenna went to Ninveh. Vayivnes Ninveh, Vesrechoy Vaisir Kolach, Ninveh Kimashmoy, as it says that we know it. Rechoy Vaisir Zu Pras Demeshon. Okay, this is a another city. And Kolach, or Kelach, Zupras, the Bursif. This is a, sounds like a port city. Then we have Resen, another place called Resen, Ben Ninveh, Ben Kelach, Hiri Agadola. Now, what is the Hiri Agadola going on? We're going to see. Resen, Zu Aktisfoin. He hoir agadola. Any idea? I don't know. Im Ninveh hoir agadola. Im Resen hoir agadola. Right? Because the pasuk says, "As Resen, which was between Ninveh and Kelach, the hoir agadola, the big city. What's the big city? Ninveh or Resen? Kishu oimer when it says in Sefer Yoino, v'Ninveh hoise hoir agadola leilokim malach shloishes yomim. That Ninveh was a big place, and you took 3 days to travel across it. Have oimer Ninveh is hoir agadola. Is referring to Ninveh. That indeed is the big city. Now we change the topic again, dealing with different names, because that's the that's where the, what has been the topic of this conversation. That's why the Ravina Ravashi sort of put it into this Gemara. When Torah was not written down, they had to just remember everything by memory. They needed it by association. So by association, oh, you're naming all the cities, explaining it. Now let's name the names of these people and explain them too. And here we have the story of when Kalev went to Chevron. It says, Visham, and over there in Chevron, Achiman, Sheshai, Visalmei, Yelidei HaAnak. The giants were in that place. Achiman, and Sheshai, and Talmai, they were the giants in that place. Tana we learned. Achiman, who was Achiman? He's called that because he was Miyuman Shebaachim. He was the strongest of all the giants. Okay, I'm not sure who the competition was against, because to us and those spies that went in, it was all the same. Okay, but Meyuman, from the word Yemin, Yemin is always represents the stronger one. Meyuman Sheba Achim, that's Achiman. Achiman, Meyuman Achim. Sheshai, why is he called Sheshai? Because he was Shemesim Es Haaretz Kishechisois. When he walked, when Sheshai walked, he sort of destroyed the ground underneath him. The lashon of Sheis Vashever, we have an Echa in Yonah Diyayma. Okay, so he was so big that he would sort of destroy the ground when he walked. Then we have finally Talmai. Why is he called Talmai? Shemesim es haaretz talamim talamim. Wherever he walked is as if he made like plowed fields, plowed rows in the way he walked. Dover Acher, another pshat, Achiman is Bona Anas. He built a city called Anas. Sheshai Bona Alush. He built a city called Alush. V'Talmei Bona Talbush. And then the pasuk ends off, these are Yelidei HaAnak. Literally means these are the giant offspring. Here the Gemara explained that Shema Anikin Achama Bimkoy Moson. Ma'anikim is like from the word necklace. And when they used to walk, people who looked up at them, way, way, way up there, it looked as if they were so tall and so big, it looked as if they were wearing the sun around their neck as a chain. Just to give us an idea that of how petrified the Jews were when they went and they saw all of these giants in Eretz Yisrael. Indeed, it was a very frightening event for them. Says the Gemara again, we now change topics. Some Rabbi Shoban Levi, Amar Rabbi, Asid Roimi Shatibol Biyad Pras. Rome, who is now the ruler, they are still the rulers, the whole Roman Empire, which continued into the Christians and many factions of Christianity and Catholicism, they are the Romi, and they, in the end, before Mashiach comes, they will be given over in the hand of Pras, in the hand of the Persians. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, listen closely to the advice or the word given by Hashem concerning Edom, those living in the south. If they will not be sort of trapped in or captured by the Tzirei Atzoin, im lo yashim aleihem niveihem. Says the Gemara. So here you see the Navi is telling about Edom, they will sort of be trapped in by the Tzirei Atzoin, who the young sheep, who's referring to Malchus Pras, the Persian Empire. Maskev Mlo Rabba Barula, my mashma. How do you know that this is referring to Pras? It doesn't say Pras in the Pasuk. Must be my mashma the high tzirei atzoin prasu. How do you know that the young sheep are referring to pras? Tichsiv must, because it says a pasuk in Daniel and the nevuah Daniel. Ha'ayil the ram asher roisa ba'al hakarnayim, the ram which you saw has horns. Malchei modai uforos. Aha. So you see, it must be the ram, which is the same family as the sheep. Must be, that's what you're referring to. It must be, it's Persia. But Ve'ema, maybe I'll tell you it's Yavon. Maybe it's referring to Greece. Why? Dechsiv v'hat sofir v'hat so'ir v'hat sofir asor melech Yavon. So you see, this also could be referring to Yavon, which is referred to Hatsof v'hatsorim, which is melech Yavon, and that also could be the sheep. Kisalak rav chaviva bar surmoki. When Rav Chaviva Bar Samoki came from Bavel, Teretz Yisrael Amri, he said, "Kamei da'u mirabonan." He said before the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, he heard about this discussion. Omalei, so he said, "Man de lo yoda pirushe kroy." Someone who does not even know how to interpret psukim, moisiv to yufta le Rebbe, is going to ask Kasha. Rebbe said it's going to be pras. You don't even know how to explain psukim. You say maybe it's Yavon. Why? My tzirei atzoin. Know what it means? Tzirei atzoin. It means zutra dachoi. The youngest of the brothers is referring to the youngest of Bnei Yefes. Who was the seventh son of Yefes? That we said before, Bnei Yefes was who? Goimer Mogoy Moda Yovan Tuvel Meshech Visiros. And Siros is Pras. It means that Siri, that's how you have to interpret the Pasuk. The youngest of the sheep, meaning the youngest of the brother, namely, it's Pras. Omer Rabba Bar Bachon, Rabbi Yechon, Shum Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi. Asid the Roimi Shetiba Biat Pras. The same opinion. That Rome will be given over in the hands of Pras. Mikal V'choymer. Why? Oma Mikdash Rishoin Shebanu B'nei Shem. The first base of Mikdash was built by who? By Jews. B'nei Shem. Yet Ve'achirivu Kazdiim. Yet the Kazdiim, the Babylonians essentially, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it, and then Naflu Kazdim Biad Parsiim. So the Kazdim was strong enough to destroy Beis Hamikdash. The Parsiim, the Persians, were strong enough to destroy and defeat the Babylonians. So Mikdash Sheni Shebanu Parsiim, who built the second Beis Hamikdash? The Persians themselves. And Vachirivu Roimim, yet the Romans defeated them. So Ein Adim Shiyipulu HaRoimim Biad Parsiim. Why? Because the Parsiim wanted to get against the Nebuchadnezzar, and they did that. So they were the ones who built the second Beis Hamikdash, and they said, oh, the Romans destroyed the Beis Hamikdash we built? Certainly they're going to take revenge. And as if they're strong enough to fight the Babylonians and defeat them, and here they have a good reason why they want to defeat the Romans, because they destroyed their Beis Hamikdash, which they built of the Persians. Certainly the Persians are going to get revenge and try to defeat them. However, we have another version, another shita. Omarava, see the pras shatibo biyad roimi. He says the opposite. In the end, the Romans will defeat the Persians even and rule over the whole world, as we will see. Omale Rav Kahana Rav Asi L'Rav, benuye biyad sasairi. Is it going to be the ones who built the Beis Hamikdash will yet fall on those who destroyed it? Right? And as again, it should be that the Persians should want to take revenge. Those who built it should want to take revenge. You can say that the Romans who then destroyed it will still continue. Amalahu in yes, Gezeras Melechi. It says, this is what Hashem has decreed, that the Romans will defeat the Persians. Ikadamri Amalahu, he says, Inunami Hakasasri Bekinishta. They also destroyed. The reason why they're going to be defeated is they also destroyed a Beis Hamikdash, and therefore they have no schus of defeating the Romans. Tanya Nami Ochasi, the Prashati Biyan Roimi. Persians will fall at the hands of the Romans. Chodah, first of all, the Sasri Bekinisha. First of all, because they destroyed, and they're guilty of destroying but the Beis Hakneses. Va'oid, Gezeras Melechu, Sheyiplu Boinim Biyat Saisrim. Normally it shouldn't be like that. Here's a Gezerim and Hashemayim, that the ones who build will fall in the hands of those who destroy the Romans. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Ein Ben David Bo Ashetiv Shaid Malchus Roimi Harsha Bechol Ha'olam Kuloi Tisha Chadoshim. Mashiach will not come until the Romans rule over all of mankind, all of the world of civilization for 9 months. Why 9 months? Shenemar lochein yitneim ad eis yoleda yolodo. 9 months, just like the amount of time it takes for a baby to be born. This is where we get, says the Marsha, the whole idea of chavle leido. Chavle Mashiach is going to be the chavle leido, because here you see, Hashem says at the end of the days before Mashiach comes, it will have to be a 9 month period, right, of that process of giving birth to Mashiach. And that's what he says here, based on this pasuk, Mochen yitna mares yoleido yolodo, the yes erachav yeshuvon al bnei Yisrael. It's referring to the Romans. That even Bnei Yisrael will be under the hands of the Romans for a time period of 9 months to give birth, ultimately, to Mashiach. It should happen. B'meheira v'yameinu. Amen.